Okay. Thank you guys for leading in a time of worship. Just let me respond a little bit to some of the things that have been shared. First of all, concerning Grace Works. And, well, I didn't know that I wrote 200 articles weekly. I think each week when I think about what is it that the Lord will lay within my heart, can we adjust it a little bit? Each time when I think about what is it that I would like to write to you, very much I have you in my heart. Your concerns, your needs, what are some of the things that are being considered. And it's both a joy and a challenge. It's not easy for me. As I always say, I'm not a writer. And I think to put it into perspective, in terms of Grace Works, I've written 200. You compare it to what Pastor has written, and he's written 10,000 articles. There's nothing to talk about, really. I mean, I just did a quick calculation. I mean, what percentage is that? And Jane has the answer. It's only 0.2%. So it's nothing, really. But yet, at the same time, I'm learning, and I think we all learn together and being able to minister together. Okay? Are we all right? Okay, and at the same time, I think, as you recognize, we have new committee members. And being a committee member, to me, it's a privilege, learning what it means to serve. And so I hope you don't get the wrong impression that, you know, they're missing out on so much that it's such a challenge every time they come. Well, it is to some extent. Service is never easy. There's always challenges involved. But, you know, the Lord teaches us that we should serve with joy. There's much, you know, there's so much that we can really rejoice in. And I think, you know, to me, it's far more a blessing than anything else. So I guess we are all learning at the same time what it means to serve. And it's a joy to be able to learn to serve alongside each other. Okay? So I appreciate what was shared by Fabian and Yochai. I think we all go through different challenges in life, whether it's work or whether it's learning what it means to serve. And I think the key thing is really to have the greater sense of our faith and oneness in how we can move forward in terms of our ministry. Okay, let's review a little bit as to what we studied last Saturday. And we talked about what it means to be able to practice oneness. And I think we don't want to say, okay, let's be one, or to have this idea of oneness. We want to be able to have reasons. We want to be able to say, you know, God has blessed us in so many ways, whether it is the consolation of Christ, whether it is comfort of love, whether it's the fellowship of the Spirit. And we see how these things build upon each other. We begin with Christ, and we build upon it. We talk about love that has been given to us. We talk about the fellowship that is of the Spirit that we share with each other. And there is that affection that is experienced, and how we want to be able to show mercy. And as much as all these different ifs, and it tells us about how we are to be inspired or encouraged by all these things, blessings, that we should then respond to be exalted to have this sense of oneness. So talking about the same mind, same love, same Spirit, having that one mind, you know, so I think we want to be able to look at different aspects that, depending very much on the situation, sometimes it calls for us to emphasize the idea of having one mind. or the same mind. Sometimes in certain situations, we want to be able to emphasize the same love. So we are also looking at this from a situational standpoint, and it's good to be able to say, okay, in this situation, we want to be able to apply this. Now, we also talk about, you know, of all the things that we want to focus on, and this year, Pastor set the perspective for us that all the greatest of all the commandment is love. So we want to be able to emphasize love, to have this same love. But as you will recognize also when we look at next week's lesson, we have the mind of Christ. So it leads to the mind of Christ also. And so I hope that that will help us really to be able to apply this in the context of our life and ministry. Now, let's just assume, okay? Let's just assume that we have oneness. We have a certain amount of oneness, right? I mean, we are all here on a Saturday afternoon where you can sleep, you can go shopping, you can do whatever you want, very much so, right? But you are here today because we want to be able to learn together, we want to be able to worship together, we want to be able to cultivate this greater sense of faith and oneness with each other, to have the same spirit of faith, right? Let's just assume that we have a certain amount of oneness. Now, we want to be able to also recognize what Paul did, and he raised up problems. Problems that can affect adversely the oneness that we can have. It reveals that how it can hurt us, problems. It can cause division, there may be cracks that will appear, and they have to be addressed. And Paul did that. He addressed them because he recognized as much as there was oneness, it can be affected by problems. Okay, let's just raise up some of them, and then let's discuss this a little bit more. So in verse 3, we read, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves or himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Okay, so let's raise up the first problem, which is the problem of selfish ambition or conceit. Now, this word, selfish ambition, and erythea, basically is about, the direct translation is the word contention or strife. And it is in this strife, in this where you have rivals, that ambition comes about. That is where the word ambition comes about, okay? And it really has to do with this idea of self. See, that is part of the problem when you have oneness that can be affected because of the problem of self, where you focus on self. That's where you get the word selfish ambition. And that becomes part of the problem. Now, in chapter 1, we dealt with this a little bit. Let's go back to chapter 1, verse 15. And, right, in verse 15, it says, "And some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, some also from goodwill." Okay. "The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love." Now, I was asked this question when I was actually teaching about what it means to love the Lord and to love each other. And I raised this question as to what are some problems that prevents us from loving the Lord? And somebody came out with this, and he said that ego. And he said it's because of our ego because of ourself that prevents us from truly loving the Lord as we should and loving each other. Because it's really about self. So if we are so focused on what is our own perspective, our own opinions, our own ambitions, our own interests, and that becomes our focus, and we are not learning what it means to look to the guidance that God and His people can give to us, then that becomes a problem. There is what we call envy. See, there were certain people among the brethren that was envious of Paul, because Paul was a great preacher, and at this point in time, he is in prison. And they, you know, wow, you know, since he's in prison, he's not preaching, we will preach. Right? But they're doing it because out of envy. They can tell Paul, okay, you know, you're in prison. Now we can go and preach all we want. And, you know, see, you're in prison. You cannot preach to anybody. We can preach to everybody. And they do it out of strife. And they are trying to find ways and means to add affliction to His chains. It is all about self. And when we end up, see, of course, in this context, it's maybe somewhat different from us. Well, I mean, if you look at the pastors, the student pastors and all the pastors and the teachers, well, we are serving and we teach the Lord's word, we preach the Lord's word. I mean, there can possibly become some strife along the way. But maybe it's not about this in our context as a young adults ministry. But what about self? Self-ambition. Self, see, that's where this problem of ego comes about, you see. When we do not have that humility, but that ego comes across, that self comes across, and that becomes a problem. A lot of times you see how that can affect us. You know, not too long ago, we had another Indian pastor. But after a while, he began to do his own thing. In fact, it came to a point in time in which he disagreed with certain people in the context of the church, and he resigned. Now, we did everything we could to try and amend, you know, make amends and trying to say, okay, let's try and work things out and so on and so forth. And for a moment, he say, okay. But then after that, you know what? He decided that he wanted to resign and he left. And after that, you know, he started trying to see, you know, he said all kinds of things against the church. He got people to say all kinds of things against the church. And it caused a lot of difficulties. We thank God that, you know, he left, and then that's where we replaced him with Titus, and Titus has been doing a good job. We were just there just previous week, and the church is slowly growing, and but he had a hard time just trying to get the church on its feet again, to find a greater sense of oneness, because there were a lot of division, and people were just being drawn to the other side, and some who stayed, and a lot of things had to be re-emphasized in terms of getting that oneness in the church again. But you see, that is where the ego comes across. That is where selfish ambition comes across. That is where conceit, you know, this word conceit is translated as empty glory or vain glory. There's nothing there. You want to have glory. See, that's the problem. We all look for glory. We want to be praised. We want to be able to say, oh, I'm in a position where I can, wow, receive that glory. But you know, at the end of the day, there's no glory because it is empty glory. That's conceit. That is where pride takes over. The ego of a person takes over. The self part of a person takes over. This is the idea of the pride of life. You were to turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. Okay. And you know, you can have verse 15, do not love the world or the things of the world. If one loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Right? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. A lot of times when you look at this idea of pride, self, it is of the world. So that becomes a problem. When you have the church, you have those who lead the church, you have the direction in which Christ will give to the church, and yet you have others who would think otherwise. They have their own ambition. They have their own pride that they seek to cultivate and emphasize. And that becomes a problem. That affects oneness. And it can greatly affect oneness. So that is something that we want to think about. Do we have this problem of self? Because when we talk about what it means for us to have the same mind and same love and same spirit and to have this one mind, it's not about self. If we emphasize self, it's going to create division and difficulties. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. This was a problem that was in the church. Right? And okay, so when you talk about in 1 Corinthians, you, chapter 3, look at this. Verse 1, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food. But until now, you were not able to receive it, and even now, you still not able, for you still carnal. See, that is what the problem is. You are still carnal. That is of the flesh. For where there's envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Paulus, are you not carnal? So that's something that we really want to guard against. Right? Please never feel that, oh, I'm of Pastor Mark, or I'm Pastor Charlie, or I'm Pastor Mitch, or I'm Pastor Ben, whichever Ben that you're bent towards. You know, it is not about this. That's why we always work as a team. We are a team. We honor Pastor Charlie because he is someone that we have loved. We regard him. He's our, you know, our spiritual father. He is someone who guides us and leads us. And for Pastor Mitch and myself, we are assisting him. We support him. The other student pastors, they are learning and growing, and you know that they will one day be the next generation that will take over the church. But it's not about this pastor or that pastor. We're all working together. We all have the same heart, same mind, same spirit, and to be able to work together and serve together. So it's not about envy. See, that's the problem. If you allow envy, right? Oh, wow, this person, he has so many more talents. Oh, this person, he is able to do this far better than I can. You know, what's the point of having envy? Right? It doesn't help. And after a while, oh, because he can do better, okay, I want to do better. See, if your heart is wrong, okay, I want to do better, I want to do better than this person, then you know what? Your heart is wrong because you're doing it out of strife. You're not doing it because you love the Lord. You're not doing it because you want to be able to serve the Lord as we should, to have the same mind and same heart. So a lot of it really has to do with the heart. What is within the heart? What is within the mind? What are you thinking of as you serve? If not, if we have all these things in mind, envy, strife, divisions, are we not carnal? Are we not of the flesh? That is where the self part comes across quite strongly. Okay? Now, okay, any questions at all concerning this? Okay? Now, how do we then deal with this problem? Well, let's go back to Philippians. And one of the things that Paul writes about, okay, let nothing. Now, what he's trying to get across here, it is a flow of thought. So there must be, first of all, if, all these things. So we must begin with that and we must bear that in mind. Then fulfill my joy by being all these things. And then he extends the thought and says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Nothing. What is it that we want to be able to do? Anything that we do, whether you want to be able to serve, whether you want to be able to play the piano, whether you want to lead in worship, whether you just want to give towards the Lord's work, you want to be able to support the Lord's work one way or another, let nothing. What that means is that we want to be able to do everything, okay, with lowliness of mind. So every time when we serve, it's not about self, but recognizing we are nothing. Lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Okay? Now, let me try and explain this word a little bit. This idea of lowliness of mind. Now, this word, one part, tapeno frotsone, okay? This idea here is one part has to do with the mind, okay? So, frotsone is really the mind, or thinking, or mindset. And then you have this idea of tapeno. The idea here is to be humble, humility. So humility thinking. That is what this word is trying to bring across. It's humble thinking, humility of mind. It's a humble mindset. Do we have this humility of mind? Or are we just so filled with self, our own understanding and ego that comes across far more than anything else, instead of selfish ambition? Can we not learn to submit? Can we not learn to follow? Can we not learn to have this humility of spirit, of mind? This is what we need. Lowliness of thinking. You know, this week we had a funeral. And this man, Mr. Sim, and he previously he was a fortune teller. When he came to know the Lord, he told or revealed that it's all bluff. You know, he faked it. And he wore the monk's robes. He got all kinds of idols. He had about, 60, 70 idols. He had, you know, usually altar is one level, right? I saw a picture. Usually you have one, whether it's a cupboard, whatever. But he had multiple stories where He placed all his idols, I think there were about 60 to 70 idols, so many of them. And he would tell fortune. You know, people would come to his house and he would tell fortune. And after a while, you know, he stopped that. And later on, he began to help out in a chicken rice store and, you know, in washing plates and stuff like that. And it was actually the lady, the owner, who was a Christian, and began to share with him about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to know the Lord. Now, after that, when he came to church, you know, he recognized that he had nothing, nothing whatsoever. But yet at the same time, he wanted to be baptized. And humbly, he came to talk to us, he talked to Pastor, and he shared with Pastor what his faith was, to have this faith in Christ and his desire to be baptized. The last couple of years before he, you know, before he passed away, he was at least he was selling tissue paper at the MRT. He moved around in a buggy, you know, those mobile buggy, motorized buggy, and you know, he really had nothing. And, you know, you could see that it is a very simple life, nothing whatsoever. And it was a very hard life. But yet, faith made all the difference. You know, sometimes when we have so much, when we have certain standing in life, when we have all that we have achieved, and, you know, a lot of these things can get to us. The way in which we can see things, it affects the way we approach things. And to me, one of the difficult thing is that when you have pride and when you have this kind of focus, self, it affects others. So that's why it says here, let each esteem others better than himself. So the lowliness of mind, humility, should affect the way we relate with others. That is where oneness can be cultivated and practiced. But if we are so full of ourselves and we want to be able to push our own selfish ambition, that becomes a problem. Right? The word to hold someone, right? Let each esteem others. The word esteem is basically hupe echo. So the word echo means have. Hupe is basically the idea of something that is above, or hyper. So to have this person, to place this person above you, that's what it means here. And to be able to esteem this person higher than you. That is the kind of regard that we want to be able to have for each other. Not just because this person is of a greater standing. Then, you know what James applies. We don't want to have partiality in terms of the exercising of our faith. But that we will always esteem, no matter who this person is, rich, poor, there is always a regard or higher regard for each other. And that's something for us to think about. That's what Paul had to address in the context of the Philippian church. Okay. What do you think? How would you look at this in your context, in our context? How would you understand? Okay, any questions at all? Any interaction? I mean, if you look at your own workplace, you look at your own, whether it's school or anything, you recognize that it's not easy to work together. There's always, you know, your boss, he wants to get this done, and then you are another boss, and he wants to get it done, and then you have all the egos coming up, and very hard to... That's where all the politics come into play. True? You recognize that? You see what's in the world, and you recognize that this is of the world, because self, carnal, flesh, of the world, the pride of life, all these things come into play when there is no faith. But you know, the problem is that even in the context of the church, you have these issues too. We must guard against these things. Because if you allow any of these things to come in the context of the church, that's where division comes. Now, the reality is there are churches who are divided. There are churches who, you know, where there's, where you have splits. And that becomes a problem. Okay. Zero response. Are we all here? Any questions? Any direction? Yeah. Loneliness, yes. Yeah, we are doing recording, so yeah, that's for that purpose. Okay. Yeah.
I don't like the sound of our own voice, though. okay, Pastor, you mentioned that you know, we need to esteem others better than yourself,
yep,
have a high regard for others. So I've been in a corporate world for several years.
Yeah.
It's really difficult when someone's sure not that good at the job. So,
yeah.
am I right?
Okay.
Pastor, help us.
Sure, I understand. I appreciate that. Now, first of all, let's put it into the right context. You can see the board? Yeah. Thank you, I appreciate that question. Yeah, you're right. Not everybody is good at what they're doing. Sure, of course. First of all, we have to understand that what Paul is trying to bring across is the context of the church. We have to begin with that. Okay? It is in the context of the church. That's why we must begin. Notice, we begin with the beginning of chapter 2. It is the consolation of Christ. So this is being applied in the context of Christ. We must be in Christ. Can you see this? So you're right. So what we are learning here is, of course, we want to be able to have regard for others and so on and so forth. But I think we want to be able to, first of all, the context that we're looking at is in the context of the church. And we're looking at oneness. Right? Yes, it's going to be hard to apply this in the context of the secular world. Not easy. Of course, we want to be able to have regard for our bosses and you know, are you talking about your boss? No, right? Adjust. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, when you talk about work and all, I think we want to be able to, you know, learn what it means to be that light in the world. That means we want to show that kind of love and kindness and regard too, definitely. I think as a Christian, we want to be able to have that. As a worker, we learn what it means to work, even though our boss can be not so good, even evil, okay? Then you talk about suffering in the context of 1 Peter, right? Even you have bad bosses, we learn to suffer nonetheless. As Christ suffered, we also suffer. That is the context of, you know, the world and so on and so forth. But when we talk about this oneness, it's what Paul is trying to address, is this context of brethren. Brethren that is, we have experienced all these things. If we have experienced now, one of the things that I raised up for, as I was thinking about it, see, what is it that this person or whoever it is that's trying to bring across, a selfish ambition or self, or, you know, my point is that now we are all Christians, right? It is in the context of Christians, context of being in Christ. Now, if we are already blessed with at least five things are mentioned here, consolation in Christ, comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit, affection and mercy. These are things that we have experienced. You know, it should cause us to already count ourselves as blessed, count ourselves as ministered to, you know, that we have the love that has been, you know, from Christ and so on and so forth. Okay, we talked about this in the context of chapter 1 and so on and so forth. Now, these are things that we should be satisfied with these things. We should be blessed to count ourselves truly that we should rejoice in. And Paul is basically raising this, that, you know, we should rejoice in this. And because of this, then we should learn what it means to have the same mind, spirit, love to each other, and so on. But when a person seeks... Okay, let me ask you this question. You don't ask me a question, I ask you this question. What is a person like, truly, if he has this selfish ambition? What is he... Let's try and understand this person. Okay, let's just say Fabian. You know, Fabian, he is so nice, and, you know, he's very concerned about others around him, and you know... when he stays with your child, he's very concerned about whether he puts his clothes properly and all this kind of thing. So, you know, he has others in mind, and so which is important. But once, say one day he changes, you know, and then he decides, I want to do my own thing. I want to take over the YAG. I want to be the preacher instead of Pastor Mark. Pastor Mark is preaching not very good, but, you know, I can preach better and so on and so forth. Now, what we do... Okay, let's try and analyze him. Why is he like that? Why is Fabian like that? So later on in your discussion, why is Fabian like that? Okay. Why? Tell me why. Anybody? Change too much money. Yeah. You follow what I'm trying to say? Why? Jason, what do you think? Why would anyone be like that? Now, let me just say, even this idea of, you know, preaching and so on and so forth, not too long ago, I mean, a time ago, there was one person who, even in our midst, you know, and he was learning what it means to preach. And he came upon a time in which he interacted with a pastor. And he even went to the extent of saying, I can preach. And he even challenged Pastor. Pastor said, no, you're not, you know, this is not your place. Definitely, you're not in training as a pastor here. This is not your place too. And he even went to the extent of challenging pastor's word of saying no, that the pastor had to raise it to the session. In the session, of course, everybody unanimously we said no. And the person has since left the church. Why? Why is it that, you know, if you were to just say, okay, you know what, I thank God for what it means. You see, like many of you, or all of you say, you know, you come to church, you sit there, you enjoy the singing, you enjoy the sharing, you enjoy the word of God that is shared. You enjoy it, you know, so by all means enjoy, right? And then yet at the same time, what causes a person to not just appreciate that enjoyment or to have that blessing, to want to say, you know what, I want to do my own thing. What causes a person to do that? You see my point? It does happen. Two, we want to be able to guard ourselves from this. So, Fabian, you know, we want to help you. Right? Don't you want to be helped? Okay, let's help him. Anybody? Jason? You're a good friend of Fabian. Yes. What do you think? Why? What causes a person to do that? Now, why I'm raising this is so that we can think about it and figure out why does a person come to that point? Yes?
It's usually ego.
Ego, right? What do you mean by... What's your own understanding of ego?
Basically, a very inflated view of self.
Okay, inflated. Why inflated? Like a balloon. You see, it's all about perception. How you see yourself. And sometimes you see yourself in a way that is wrong. You know, it's a wrong perception, wrong understanding. And that's where pride, ego, self, envy, all come into play. Correct? What causes? Fabian, are you safe already? Not yet. Okay, let's try some more. Why? Let's ask the teachers, right? Last week I said I will ask the teachers. Who are the teachers here? Where are all the teachers? Aileen, yes. What do you think? Okay. Why? We are trying to save Fabian. Why is he like that?
Maybe it's this idea of he thinking that he might be right.
Yeah.
That he wants to challenge.
You are right.
The pastor, he wants to challenge the preaching.
Precisely.
Because he thinks that he has the experience, he has certain things, certain abilities that maybe the pastor does not have.
Yes, precisely the point. You know, you think that you are right. Right, Fabian? You know, so it's... You think that you are right when you're wrong. You know, that is where light, you know, darkness has become light. Darkness, you think in a certain way. And you think that this is light. My thinking is light. But it's really darkness. And that becomes a real problem. Because it is based upon your misconception of what is right, what is light, what is good. And you push forward with that. Okay? Now let's look at verse 4. It says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Look out. The word look out is where you get the word scope. Okay? Scopeo. To take aim, to look out. Look out. Not only for your own interests. See, that is part of the problem. We are only looking out for your own interests. Self-interest is so strong being brought across here. But also for the interests of others. That is what we should be doing. Not about ourselves, but about others. About the interests of others. Now this is said in the imperative. An imperative tells us it is a command. It doesn't say that we cannot look out for our interests. That's fine. But it says that we must also look out for the interests of others. We must think of others also. We must esteem others also. How you regard each other, how you relate to each other is so crucial when you think about oneness. Okay? Now, I would like you to go into your discussion groups and take this further. And, you know, how do we really look at oneness? Okay? Now, these are only some problems that are raised up. I would like you to go into your groups and raise up more problems. What are some problems that you may personally face too? What you think can be potentially a concern even for our whether it's our group or our church, to want to be able to address them. See, problems must be addressed. If you don't address the problems, they continue to exist, it can potentially hurt the oneness that we have. We don't want in any way for our oneness to be affected. Okay? Let's address the problems. Now remember, the flow of the thought here is that let's always begin with Christ. Consolation in Christ. Comfort of love. Then we must be able, because of all these experiences that we have, blessings, then fulfill my joy by being like-minded. We must be like-minded. Same mind, same love, right? Same spirit, one accord, one mind. And if we have this, then let us not do these things. Please. So the flow, or what we call the force, is very important of this passage. And when we understand, okay, these are things that we want to avoid. Selfish ambition, conceit. Let's learn what it means to have lowliness of heart, of mind. To learn to esteem others better than ourselves. Let us not just look out for our own interests, but the interests of others. And when we are able to do that, then we are going to learn what it means to preserve this oneness as a group, as a church, and even as an IPC group. You know, oneness is so important in our churches overseas. It's not something that has been developed as what we have here, so continue, there are issues and problems, even as the churches grow. But we want to be able to help them further. And that's why we go there each time. In about one week's time, Pastor Mitch and I and Pastor Charlie will be leading us to Myanmar. And we want to be able to continue to support the work there. Okay, just talking about interests of others, next Saturday, we're going to have a special offering. We want to be able to give towards the work in Myanmar a little bit. So next Saturday's offering will be specially dedicated to our work in Myanmar. Just for those of you who are new, each year, each time when Pastor goes over to Myanmar, we give a special gift, okay? And this gift is specially our support. I mean, it's just part of all the support that is given. And along the way, I'll share with you the different areas in which this special gift from the Young Adults Ministry is dedicated to. So next Saturday's gift is specially dedicated, or offering will be dedicated to our work in Myanmar. Okay? So let's continue to address problems that may potentially affect this oneness that we want to continue to cultivate and preserve. And even as you go into your discussion, let's learn. Because it really begins with ourselves. All you need is one, two people that can potentially affect the group, the church, in more ways than one. So it begins with each and every one of us. And I hope that that's something that we can learn to address and deal with. Well, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you that we can continue to learn what it means to cultivate the sense of oneness with each other, to have the same spirit of faith. But we also recognize that problems can potentially hurt this oneness. We ask that you will help us to address them, whether it is problem of self, whether it is problem of pride, or any other problem. We pray that you will help us to address them so that we will be able, Lord, to preserve and maintain this oneness. And we ask that you continue to keep this oneness that we have in the Young Adults Ministry, in Bethany, and in all our churches overseas. We ask that you will bless us, even as we go into our groups, to have a time of fellowship and discussion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Okay, those of you who were not around last week, and you don't know which group you are in, go and see Jane. She will tell you which group you are in.